There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Always follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Here we go. Welcome into the program. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Pauly Howard, live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Coming up over the next 3 hours. On today's program, Michael Lombardi on the show in an hour, longtime NFL executive, current VSiN host. What do the 49ers do now moving forward? Nigel Seeley on the show live from Qatar on today's soccer action. And Andy Staples, who covers college football for The Athletic, going to be in studio today a little bit later on. And a lot to go over with him after the weekend and now that the bowl games and the playoff is set in that sport. Yesterday's late window, in my opinion, was the best of the entire year. We'll get to Bengals, Chiefs coming up in a minute. But, of course, with what happened, so many takeaways, Paulie, in that 49ers-Dolphins game where after the first play on from scrimmage, where Tua, they go for a 75-yard touchdown, and you're like, okay, this is fireworks out of the gates. This is going to be a lot of fun. They essentially did nothing. Yes, I know there was a second-half touchdown allowed by the 49ers defense for the first time, I think, in our lifetime, that touchdown to Tyreek Hill. But after that first play from scrimmage, that was all 49ers defense. And the biggest news and the biggest takeaway was you're looking at potentially the best team, I don't know, in the NFC, maybe in football. But then you got the news about Jimmy Garoppolo, who's now out for the entire year. And so what do they do? How do they move? What's the pivot? Purdy was really, really good yesterday.
Yeah.
But he's a rookie. He was Mr. Irrelevant in the draft. And once teams have, you know, film and video and they can watch a guy, that will probably change a little bit. For one spot, he was great. What do they do? Josh Johnson going to be the answer?
He looked better than Trey Lance, I'll tell you that. So I don't know if they can go out and get a veteran. I don't know, that's a Lombardi question. You mentioned bringing in Johnson, who's been on every team in the league, it seems. Tua was terrible in that game. They've outscored their opponent 77-7 in the last five second halves.
Ugh.
It's ridiculous. And it could be, that could just be it, though, for the season, right? I mean, even if you want to come in and try to manage the game, I mean, it's going to be hard. Mr. Irrelevant now with a chance. Can he take them to the playoffs? They're 450 to win the division. That's much too high now.
That seems high.
Because they have to go to Seattle in a couple weeks on that big Thursday night. But as Kittle said, it's a brutal, unforgiving sport. And just to lose both quarterbacks now when you're playing so well and you're hot, devastating for the Niners.
Well, It's funny how that works with, you know, certain teams over a full year or over. This is what, the second time in 3 years where the 49ers have been absolutely, it's been a wrecking ball with the injuries.
I know, yeah.
And they have one of, if not like the best roster in the entire league. They're that good. And Bosa was an animal again yesterday. He had three sacks. I'm watching the 49ers postgame show on TV yesterday. One of the hosts said he's definitely going to win Defensive Player of the Year. I'm like, oh, settle down here, big fella. Because Parsons was minus $10 before the game started yet. Bosa's been amazing.
Uh-huh.
But that was a pretty strong comment. And then I was also watching, and it just, I knew it was bad. But then you hear and you're watching live, and Kyle Shanahan delivered this news to the media after the game.
I mean, just hearing it, it was pretty crushing. I mean, we know what Jimmy's been through, how hard he's worked at this. You know, I got that news a little in the second quarter, so it was a little different for me, even just how happy we were with that game. That was a really cool game, just as a team, and all the stuff that went on throughout the game, and just be able to overcome some things, and it was such a special win, but definite mixed emotions hearing about Jimmy. I told the guys right after the game, and so I know that gave them some mixed emotions fast too, but it was a hell of a job by Brock coming in, stepping it up. He did a real good job today, and we're going to be ready to do our best to overcome this.
They had the ball for almost 41 minutes in that game yesterday. They created four turnovers. And now when you look at the action coming up this Sunday, well, the look-ahead number, the Niners are at home against Tampa Bay. In Tampa Bay, sight unseen tonight, obviously, Monday Night Football against the Saints. The look-ahead number was San Francisco -6.5. Now, with no Jimmy G, and in theory it's going to be Brock Purdy, they're sitting at a field goal favorite.
Yep. Well, the kid looked good, but we'll see now. Shanahan coach him up and all the weapons that he has. I mean, if he plays like that, they're going to win games. Now, can they make a deep postseason run? I doubt it. I don't know if he was serious, but Barnwell tweeted something about Matt Ryan. If that can happen. I mean, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that is, it's terrible. Baltimore can survive. I mean, Huntley was 27 of 32. He's won games, right?
Although he'll be fine. Yeah.
But this, I just don't think, because it's going to be difficult because you're going to a guy who's only played like a half now with San Francisco.
So you don't think Carson Wentz to Nick Foles 5 years ago? Because no. I don't either.
Yeah, right.
No.
I can't, yeah.
And so he's going to also go from, the Dolphins did not expect this. They had no idea that so they have nothing on the kid. And he goes up there and looks pretty good. And against that defense, and now he's going to get Tampa's defense next week.
Yeah, that's a
big upgrade there.
Yeah, that's a tough assignment. I don't see where the points are coming from in that game.
And I know people were panicking on Twitter to me last night, and I get it. They're like, well, there goes my 12-1 ticket. And I'm like, yeah, man, that sucks.
Well, then again, you watch these teams play. They still can't go to Minnesota to win. I mean, how the Vikings are doing this every week, it's amazing, but they're nothing special.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the stars keep aligning for Philadelphia. They looked awesome, but they caught a break here too.
Dallas
appears to be a freight train as well. But the other point too about Shanahan, they love that guy.
Remember when
he came back in and he had the rushing touchdown? How they're jumping up and celebrating with the guy. So what he meant to the locker room and the chemistry, and it's a big loss, loss.
Not that they would have defeated Dallas or Philadelphia anyway, but their power rating is right there and maybe ahead of those two teams, or it was anyway. But now you're going to go from Jimmy G, a vet like that, who's been there and won a lot of games, to Purdy taking out. You saw it again. You just mentioned it with Dallas. I mean, what's Dallas going to be against the Texans this week when the market settles? If that's Kyle Allen?
Yeah, I think you got to put up 17.
I think you have to go 17, and it might go north of that.
Yep. Yes.
No.
Too bad. You hate to see injuries and significant injuries, right?
Yep. Yeah, that game going on, that performance by the 49ers, at the same time, the two of the best teams in the AFC were playing in Cincinnati, and Joe Burrow improved now to 3-0 lifetime against Patrick Mahomes. And I must point out, that defense, the Bengals defense, held Mahomes. Now, he only threw the ball 27 times, but he was 16 of 27 for 223 yards and one touchdown. That was it. That was his day, and that was a massive giveaway from Travis Kelce in the game, too.
Yes, they shut down Mahomes. It shouldn't have been this close. Number one, I thought that was a fumble by Mahomes. Adam Chernoff had a great tweet, though. How's that a touchdown in the Henry catch on Thanksgiving? Was ruled an incomplete pass. Zach Taylor lost his mind several times. Just run the quarterback sneak, please. I mean, of all people, it was J.J. Watt who had the best tweet about how hard it is to stop that play. And J.J. Watt was watching the TCU-Kansas State game.
Right.
Well, you just sneak the ball, and they run that end-around crap on fourth down. But great job by Burrow and the Bengals. Oh, how things have changed in that division. Baltimore was $5-6. Now they're -140. To win that division, and he does it again and beats Kansas City. Contained Mahomes. Great job by Burrow. And certainly the late window was fantastic with those games. Favorites this week in the NFL, 12-1-1 straight up. There's your one.
Wow.
Kansas City favored, they go down.
Okay.
That's it, the only one.
I will point this out here early on a Monday morning. If you shop around today, you can not every book has the MVP market up yet. It's very early. They like to take their time. I get it. But some books do. You can find, if you look, Joe Burrow at 30-1 to win the MVP. I don't think he's going to win. because Hurts now is like plus 155 and he should be. Hell, he might deserve to be the favorite today after what happened yesterday. But I'm telling you that 30-1 on Joe Burrow is a really, really off number. He's plus 750, 8-1 in other spots. That's more accurate. If you can find 30-1, the book's not here in Nevada, so I can't get down. I would absolutely be betting. And it could be a loser. But 30-1, now I will say this. If Burrow and the Bengals beat the Bills.
Mm-hmm. Week 17, Monday night.
Oh, man.
Enormous. Hey, guess who's the one seed?
That's for everything, though, right? That could be for that division.
Yeah.
It could be for seeding in the playoffs. But that if Burrow beats Josh Allen, that ticket could be really, really live at 30-1.
Yeah.
This team's – I love this Bengals team. I bet them back in October.
Now, the Bills are going to have to get that one, too, because I don't think Kansas City loses the rest of the year. Schedule's so easy. And the Bills are currently the one seed. But you're right. That is an enormous game on Monday night. So
look at the odds screen.
Yep.
He's down to 6-1 right now on the book that we're posting. He's ahead of Tua and Josh Allen. Should be.
Yeah, they do have a tough schedule. Even going to New England's no gimme, although they should win that game.
Uh-huh.
But tough coming up. And they close with Baltimore as well. So great job by Burrow. And good for them to get that win, too.
It is funny how this team going back, boy, do they give Mahomes some fits.
Yeah, for whatever reason. I know. That is strange. That is funky.
I mean,
right?
Last year in the playoffs, they could do nothing in the second half at all. The adjustments that were made on defense by the Bengals were awesome. And then pretty much all game, again, you held that dude to 223 yards passing. That's incredible.
Yeah. Scantling led him with 70 yards. He had with a long bomb, and that was it.
I think.
And they shut down Kelsey.
Yeah. Did Kelsey have zero catches at halftime? That's it. That's, come on.
Man.
So the AFC playoffs are really going to be cooking. And, that game stayed under. How about that? Yeah, the Zach Taylor stuff really concerns me. That's my biggest issue. Late in the game, when he's throwing the ball like that, and Burrow takes a sack, it makes it 3rd-and-11 because Burrow's so good, he picked up the first down. But also right before halftime with those plays. What was it, 4 consecutive run plays they had? And then the jet sweep, and that was a beautiful play by Carlos Dunlap to stop it.
He runs that. Come on. 4th-and-1, he runs that crap. Oh, and God.
That decided the first half total, too, by the way, what it's
my
worth.
Oh, God.
Yep. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook here, calling all soccer fans to lace up your cleats with the World Cup in full swing. Now is the perfect time to check out Bet Rivers. Log in. Bet Rivers, log in there every single day. Single match day and receive a bet on behalf of Bet Rivers when you place a wager of at least $25. Bet Rivers has all the latest odds, lines, and boosts to create the perfect match day experience. Head to BetRivers.com or download the Bet Rivers app today to get in on all the action. It's a whole new game. Much more to react to from yesterday's action in the National Football League. I still haven't figured out how they didn't cover yesterday. We'll run down all the numbers in that game. And strange. The market was a little strange with a few games this week. That's coming up here in Follow the Money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Drew Scott here.
And I'm Jonathan Scott, reminding you that life's better with a home policy from American Family Insurance. They can help you get just the right protection at just the right price and help you save when you bundle home and auto. Kind of like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. It'll be just right for you. We love a custom build. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
We're right back at it today. Two more World Cup matches. Over 800 different ways to bet every match at the World Cup. Bet Rivers Online Sportsbook. Your home for the latest lines, odds, and boosts. Football, hockey, basketball, World Cup. Tuesday, hockey first goal insurance. Sunday, football parlay insurance. Head to BetRivers.com or download the app today. At Bet Rivers, it's a whole new game.
Tip of the cap to the College Football Committee.
Yes.
They got it right. They got the third team right. Some team had to backdoor into the fourth spot, and that was Ohio State. So, but you had to put in TCU. And there's a lot here, obviously. Based on how this operation has worked for our lifetime, your power rating doesn't matter. So stop, you can't get all fired up about that Alabama would be favored over TCU. Yes, they would be. Everybody can admit that. They'd be favored on a neutral, but guess what? Paulie, you've said this 1,000 times. I've said it over and over and over again. Then why play the games? Why? If you're going to put in the highest power-rated teams or your four best teams, why play them then? Alabama's resume is not great. I mean, I'm sorry.
They've never played up to that power rating in 12 games.
That's right.
They haven't come close to hitting it.
Yep.
So and Stuart Mandel from The Athletic had the best line. All that was Saturday was manufactured drama. This was never close. Between those two, never. USC got blown out, so you knew Ohio State was in. But TCU, it didn't matter. Alabama had no shot, none. And the fact that people bringing out the point spread business, how'd that work out? You're laying 21 to Texas, should have lost, thoroughly outplayed, and a backup quarterback should have beat you. Three horrific calls go against Texas. You were a 2-touchdown favorite against LSU, lost. You're more than a touchdown against Tennessee, lost. You're a 24-point favorite to A&M, came down to the final play.
Right.
Get out of here. I mean, and it doesn't work this. People just thought, well, TCU lost. That means they have to drop. No, it doesn't work that way.
Right.
They're undefeated. They already beat this team that's top 10. You have two losses. You couldn't even win your division. You're out.
Yep.
And it was just, with the chaos that ensued the last couple of weeks, they had no case. Zero.
Well, and to my point all along, there's no reason to have these conference title games. You think the Pac-12 loves life today?
Oh, USC dropped 6 spots.
Silly.
Yeah.
What's the point? USC, by the way, is moving to the Big Ten very soon. What does a Pac-12 championship mean to that program? Nothing. They would stomp on it if you put it on the sidewalk when they were going to class, whatever. They don't care about that. They put it in the trash. It's more useless than Reggie Bush's Heisman Trophy. For USC. So, I mean, clearly getting to the playoff would be more important. Why would you play the playoff game? And also, you know, Alabama, as you guys put the schedule up here, look at this. Bear with me here for a second. Let's say they lost to Texas. Let's say they lost the Texas A&M game and they lost to Ole Miss. So they're 7-5 at that point. Those were all three losable games.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what? 7-5 Alabama would still be favored over TCU. Do they belong in?
Yeah, right. Well said. Well said. Who cares about the point spread? I mean, Gary Danielson again. Everyone knew it was coming too, and what he was doing in the SEC title game. Is it deserving or is it best? Is it what best, Gary? What have you watched for 3 months?
Sure,
give me a break, Gary. Right.
And for the people who want to point to recruiting rankings and power, Texas A&M on line one.
There you go.
There you go.
Well said. Well said. So it's not based on recruiting and who you have, and that was. It was a good job by TCU to get in, and the committee did an excellent job. And there it was, too. You know, again, all this talk about SEC, and it's the Big Ten that gets 2 wins. Good for them. Mm-hmm. Good for them.
Nick Saban went on Fox at halftime of the Big Ten game between Michigan and Purdue. Somehow the Wolverines covered. I don't know how, but they did. And you knew what was going to happen here. Here was Nick Saban making his case.
I think the whole goal is to get the best teams in. And what I would say to the committee or anyone else is if we played any of these teams that are on the edge or getting in, would we be the underdog or would we be the favorite? And I think if you can answer that question and the goal is to get the best teams in, then you would say they belong in there. You know, we lost two games on the road in a tough league to top 10 teams, one top five team on the last play of the game. We had our opportunities. We weren't 100%. Bryce Young was not 100%. He was injured in the mid part of the season. I think, you know, you show vulnerability when you get beat badly at the end of the season. Our team has played better at the end of the season. So that's kind of my reasoning.
Yeah.
Number one, I can't believe they allowed him on.
During the Big Ten broadcast.
During a Big Ten broadcast. Number two, I can't believe he would stoop to that level and get up there and state his case. That's beneath, you're the greatest coach in the history of college football. I mean, you can't say that with a straight face what you did.
If
you're talking about your losses to sell yourself, you don't have a case.
Right.
And that's what he was doing.
I'd like to agree with you, but I'm not surprised.
I mean, he's making the rounds Saturday and Sunday. It's like, you guys were not impressive this year at all.
He's a maniac. I mean, the story goes back years ago now that he was actually like bitter that they were playing for a national title because he was going to miss out on recruiting. Think about that for a second.
Yeah.
I think it was one of his golf buddies told the story.
Yeah.
God, the guy's a madman.
Yeah.
You know? So, there. By the way, they opened up 6.5-point favorites against Kansas State. It's down to 4.5 at one spot, 5.5 at others.
Right. Just to be clear with the rules now. If they win, it's the best conference. If they lose, they don't care and they were motivated.
Right. Yeah,
that's the
fine
print. Get the rules out there for the SEC in a bowl game.
Right.
That's how it works.
Don't you, we'll find out more about this game in the matchup. Don't you agree with the people who are betting K-State early? That Bama's going to not care?
Probably, yeah. Yeah.
And a bunch of people will sit down and their pro prospects are going to say, no, thank you, and we're going to go to the draft.
And K-State looked good. Should have won the game.
They're really good.
Yep. Don't care what quarterback plays. They were right there and should have got the W against TCU.
Mm-hmm.
Great coach.
So I think K-State is the right side there, early on anyway, my indication. And then USC opened up 3.5 after what happened to them on Friday night out here in Las Vegas. They opened up 3.5-point favorites against Tulane. It depends on where you go. They're either one now or they're catching 1.5.
Well, the game was over when Williams got hurt. I mean, he couldn't move, and he hurt the hamstring. And you just keep him in the pocket, and it helps they can't tackle. And great job by Whittingham, and Utah gets the win. But I don't see why you would play the guy. It doesn't make any sense in the Cotton Bowl. So
I think Tulane would love to go out there and beat a team like USC.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Motivation standpoint. I mean, you're this close. I thought they were going to run them out. It's 17-3. USC fumbles. They're in Utah territory, rather. USC's going in for the kill shot, and that flipped. So you're this close to a playoff spot, and now you're taking on Tulane. I can't imagine they're excited for this game.
No. Did you end up betting Utah in the game Friday?
In play, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Because I bet them.
I saw Utah was as high as, excuse me, USC was as high as 550 on the money
really?
Line. Yeah.
I bet Utah a bunch before the game. I also, the second half number was USC -1.
Yeah, it's also the Pac-12. They find a way to screw it up.
Now, so that was a good result for us in that game. But however, I want to go back to what Brad Power said on Friday. We really missed the chance here. For if we would have, in a playoff game, to get Georgia-USC,
yeah.
And if USC, if we could just go back here and play the what-if game, if they would have coasted against Utah and that number would have opened up below 10, I mean, it would have been a time to just unload hell on Georgia.
Right.
Because this number now, all day long here at Circa yesterday, and I don't know if it would have been 9.5 or not, that's maybe, you know, a pipe dream. All day yesterday here at Circa, Georgia sitting at -6 against Ohio State. It's now 6.5, and it's 6.5 almost everywhere.
I think it'll be a good game. Certainly Georgia's a freight train. But I think Ohio State will be able to. You have to be concerned about LSU did in the second half. I know you could say it was out of reach, but still, LSU moved it on them. So, and also it was a great coaching job by Riley. What that staff did was an embarrassment before. They're just a gun and ski mask when the check would come every 2 weeks, right? There's no defensive talent. I mean, it's so bad. And the tackling and Grinch. I mean, you just have to just completely change what you're doing defensively. And Riley will do it.
No doubt.
You're going to get athletes there at USC. But that was tough. Just tackle somebody. For the love of God, it was an embarrassment in the second half.
Here's why I like what happened against LSU for Georgia. It's because they did give up all those yards, and they end up giving up a lot of points. Kirby Smart has a month.
Sure.
To drive that into his players and let him know how unhappy he was with that result. And now they have a month to get ready for this Ohio State team who, how often have they been punched in the mouth this year?
Yeah. Is it two blowouts or what? I would say this has the better chance to be the epic game. I wouldn't be surprised if Michigan
blows
has a comfortable win against TCU. Or TCU could hang in there too, but it would be nice to get some competitive games here on New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
Which it hasn't happened much in the playoff.
What happens? Two blowouts or one game that's close in the fourth quarter? Can a dog win one of these games?
Well,
I have no.
Last time the Buckeyes were a four, they shocked the world.
Yeah, I have no early read or opinion at all on the TCU-Michigan game.
Okay.
I want to see this one develop and get into it a little bit more throughout the week and the upcoming weeks before the game. But Georgia-Ohio State, I think we're on opposite sides of this one. My early feel is that Georgia's going to beat them up pretty good.
All right.
Guys, follow the money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. You're not going to be able to breathe, I think, for the next 10 minutes with win some, lose some after that weekend.
Two pages will win some.
We'll recap all the betting action coming up next. Congrats to those of you who cashed this 60-1 ticket. We'll tell you who it was coming up next.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah, yeah. This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Welcome back. Football season. GM Shuffle podcast, a must listen for every football fan. Michael Lombardi goes off on players, teams, and coaching decisions every Monday and Thursday throughout the football season. Download and subscribe to the GM Shuffle podcast from VSiN and DraftKings today, wherever you get your podcast.
And the great Michael Lombardi joins the program now, as he does every single Monday during the football season. Michael, good morning. Thanks for the time. We appreciate it. We have to begin with what took place in the Bay Area yesterday. It was a very impressive defensive performance again by the 49ers. I mean, they basically allowed nothing to Tua and the Dolphins after that first play from scrimmage where the Dolphins scored on a 75-yard play. But the biggest news, obviously, is the injury to Jimmy Garoppolo. He is out for the season. What do they do moving forward? Do they have any options at this point?
You know, first of all, are we done talking about Tua for MVP? Can we end that conversation? You want to rip up those tickets now? Can we end that, please? Froze a little seam route for 75 yards, and everybody thinks he should be the MVP of the league. Anyway, I think this, to me, Brock Purdy has been in the system. Josh Johnson, when you go back and watch him play for Denver in the preseason, was pretty good. Frankly, I think if they put Josh Johnson in for Denver, he might have been better than Russell. He knows the system. The kid's a Bay Area kid. He played at Oakland Tech, recruited by Jim Harbaugh down at the University of San Diego. He knows their system. They don't need a superstar. They need somebody who's going to be effective. Remember, they beat the Minnesota Vikings in a playoff game with, what, Garoppolo threw it 10 times? I mean, this defense, mm-hmm. they've got to play really good defense. They've got to be really good in the kicking game. They've got to really emphasize the kicking game. And they got to be able to run the football and make some easy throws. Purdy starts 46 games at Iowa State. Look, he doesn't have a magnificent arm. He's not going to wow you with his talent. But the scheme can help him, certainly. And they've got to win with their defense. I mean, it's happened before. The Giants in 86 won with their defense. Remember, Phil Simms gets hurt. Jeff Hostetler steps in. You know, the 72 Miami Dolphins behind the no-name defense. You know, Rob Greasy gets hurt. Earl Morrall steps in, and they were a running team, and they only threw the ball 16 times a game. But I think that's ultimately what San Francisco is going to have to do is rely on their defense, rely on their kicking game, and not mess it up on offense.
Is there anything there if you go in there try to lure someone out of retirement?
The only name I thought of last night when I was pondering it was Phillip Rivers. And, you know, he hasn't played in 2 years, and when he did play, he wasn't the same guy. I think they're better off going with Josh Johnson. I mean, look, I'm just telling you, when I watched Josh Johnson this summer, I actually was impressed with him. I mean, he had good rhythm. He's you know, they've got to control him. But I think he gives them an option. And I'm not surprised. I mean, I thought it was a really good move to go get him. I'm not sure Josh Johnson wasn't the best quarterback on Denver's team.
Yeah. The late window was absolutely fantastic yesterday. It was the best late window of the year, in my opinion. Four games. That's what can happen when the NFL gives us four games late. Where do you have the Bengals right now in your AFC pecking order?
Well, you know, they have really, on my power rankings, they have really come up. And what I do is if I break down the game in 19 categories that I use for power rankings and that what I believe to be what goes in towards winning. And this team, this Bengal team, has been climbing up the charts. And I thought, you know, they're strong in 11 of those 19 areas. They're in the top 12 in 11 of those 19 areas. And, you know, Burrow has started to play at a different level. And this offensive line now has started to play much better. Remember, early in the year, they were not very good. We were giving them a lot of crap, me included, about how they weren't protecting. But they did a really good job yesterday. And Burrow's been sensational. And their ability to kind of run that game out. And look, Lou Amoromo, the defense coordinator, he gives them that element of maturity within their organization. And they adjust in the second half. Now, they haven't been great this year in terms of pressure in the passer. They did a little bit better job yesterday. That's the only difference between that team last year and this team this year is they were able to pressure more. But, you know, huge win for them to beat them, and I think they're going to keep rolling. I think they're a hard team to play. They're getting better, and they're peaking at the right time.
You think they win the division now with Jackson out a couple weeks? You know, Huntley's played well when he's been in there. They just haven't got the wins, and they've been involved in a lot of high-scoring games going back, you know, the injuries on the defense last year. But what do you think with Lamar out now?
You know, I haven't liked the Raven offense. I mean, at some point, will somebody stop? I mean, this Raven offense can't move the football. You know, it's like their passing game is non-existent. And I think Huntley comes in and does a nice job. But, I mean, what was that trick play that they're trying to run against Denver?
Oh.
It was horrendous. Like, their offense is to me, is discombobulated. It doesn't match what they need to do. And that was including when Lamar was in the game. And so I think Cincinnati's the best team. I think Cincinnati is the best team in the North, and I think they'll prove that.
Okay. How surprised were you with what happened with Tennessee and Philly?
You know, I was surprised. I thought Philly did a great job. You got to credit their offensive coaching staff. They came out and said, you know what, we're not going to try to run the ball inside. We're not going to play the six. We're going to throw this ball and attack the weakness of the Tennessee secondary. We saw the Raiders throw the ball on Tennessee. They lost that game on the last play of the game. But you can throw the ball on Tennessee, and I thought Hurt did a great job of throwing the football, and they made plays. They made clutch plays down the field. You know, give Philly credit. They proved that they can play left-handed. I mean, they threw the ball. They didn't win with their six-back attack. They won with their passing game, which I think is a huge step for them.
How long have you been involved in the NFL?
Oh, since 1984, so that almost put me 38 years
now. Okay. So all your years watching football, being involved in the NFL, where does this – Houston Texans outfit rank?
I mean, it just goes from worst to worst. You know, I was thinking last night, you know, and I was with Nick in New England, and I know Nick, and I like Nick. I don't understand how he hired somebody outside the Patriots system. I'm not saying it had to be a Patriot guy, but, you know, there's a way of things happen in New England, and Lovey, they're just completely different. Lovey, since he left Tampa, his last 2 years in Tampa, and his Illinois stint, at the University of Illinois, to go along with this season. He's 26-73-1 as a head coach.
Oh my God.
It's going worse. Yesterday, it's almost improbable how this happened. Yesterday, they gave up 21 points. They quarterback sneak it out of the goal line, and the kid fumbles for a touchdown. They throw a screen for an interception touchdown, and they allow a punt return for a touchdown. That's 21 points. I mean, Watson was horrendous. The Browns' offense was horrendous, and yet they lose the game convincingly. To me, this is one of those games that I said this week on my show. I thought that the Houston Texans had to show that they got a lot of fight in. They didn't show it yesterday.
No. Do you want to take them plus 17 against Dallas this week?
I wouldn't take them plus anything. I took them actually on Chris Russo on Mad Dog. I took them because I felt like, you know what, they're going to play better. And Cleveland, and I didn't think Deshaun Watson would play well. I was right about that.
Yeah.
I didn't realize how inept they are in terms of just the way they give games away. They just literally gave the game away.
Absolutely. It's right there for them.
Oh, yeah.
Watson can't do anything. It's 5-0, and then that stupid sneak. And after the punt return, too, what a fiasco. Oh, my God. What do you think tonight on Monday Night Football? I mean, if the Saints win this game, they're a half game back.
I know, and Dennis Allen always plays Brady well. I mean, they always seem to play Brady well. They can't turn the ball over. I mean, look, the Red Rifle, he's the 2020 quarterback. He goes from 120 to the next, and he moves the ball, and then he turns it over when he gets in the red zone. I mean, they got to protect the football, and they've got to be able to run the ball a little bit on Tampa, which teams have done. Teams have run the ball. That Tampa performance up in Cleveland was pathetic. I mean, they scored with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter and never scored again. Never scored again. And they're going to have to put some pressure on Brady, and they're going to have to make some plays. But Dennis Allen typically does a really good job. I like the Saints and the points in this game.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Excellent job, sir. Thanks for a few minutes. We'll be watching you later
today.
Guys. There you go.
Be good.
All right, bye-bye.
Great Michael Lombardi. Think about that. Been in the league since 84, this Texans outfit. I mean, this is...
I would think the...
How does that happen?
I think the Cleveland teams from a handful of years ago with Hugh Jackson and Freddie Kitchens, they come to mind. They didn't win a game. They were... Oh, boy, were they bad. I think they were actually more poorly coached than this Houston team.
Quarterback sneak.
Fumbles.
Scoop and score. Pick six. Punt return.
That's a bad one.
Oh, man.
I mean, honestly, if you had the Texans yesterday, I mean, they did nothing on offense. They were terrible. But to lose it like that, and you lose by 13?
12-1-1 this week, favorite straight up. What's happened to the upsets now? There's still 70 people left in Survivor.
Oh, Survivor's going to coast to the finish line now.
One guy at Jacksonville. That's tough.
Yeah, maybe he was really up against it.
Yeah, could have been. But yeah, the two most selected teams were Cleveland and Seattle. I mean, Seattle comes down to the final drive.
I really wish that I could have been watching the Seahawks with a person who had them in Survivor yesterday.
Wow.
I mean, that was, they were losing the game final minutes on the road.
Yeah.
Geno was really, really good yesterday.
Yeah, he was. And the Browns were begging to get beat. I mean, Watson did nothing, but you hand someone 21 points, forget it.
You know, have you looked at their schedule?
The Texans or the Browns?
No, the Browns. Beyond the Bengals? Yeah. Like, it's not that bad. I mean, if you could go back here and play this series, season over for them again, if the defense actually played better this year,
right.
Do they make the move? I'm very intrigued by that. Because if they were like in the hunt for that division or certainly to make a playoff spot.
If they're 8-3,
do they make the move?
I think they're pot committed because of the contract.
Look at this.
Yeah.
The Ravens, Saints at home, at Commanders, at Steelers. You would have to, all winnable games.
And we'll get to it coming up, but I am just like you. I'm shocked by that point spread. It's Cincinnati was terrible in that Monday night game. It's revenge. They're hot.
I was very surprised by the opener.
Yeah. The kid's going to struggle again. I mean, he's been out for 2 years, so.
There's a lot to like with the Bengals, man.
Sure.
There is a lot to
like. Oh, how things have changed now with the division. That was $6, $5.50. Now they're $1.40 now.
Yep.
To win the division.
What do you make of the...
He's right, though. The offense should not struggle like that. Stop throwing a ball with these wide receivers. God, is that stupid.
Dumb.
That play.
Dumb.
The interception. I mean, come on. What could go wrong? Yeah, the interception. But the Jacksonville loss is going to come back to get them if they lose a division. Well, not just that. It's all the blown leads. You've been up double digits in the fourth quarter three times and lost.
I also think the Cowboys might be the best team in the NFC right now.
That could be. That could be. Yeah. No, Scott Satterfield is the new Cincinnati head coach.
Okay. So he's...
6-year deal.
Okay. Leaving Louisville. Okay. Up next, week 14 numbers in the NFL. They got a 3-point bump after losing yesterday and getting blown out, by the way. Do you agree with the move? We'll tell you what it is coming up here. Follow the money. It's VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation and a whole lot more? You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Polly Howard on VSiN.
Get up there, VSiN.com. Nigel Seeley, best bets for Croatia, Japan, and everything he likes in the World Cup. Adam Kramer, early college football playoff preview, and Josh Applebaum on the Monday night game. What's new? Always at VSiN.com. There he comes. Nigel Seeley at Seeley underscore Nigel on Twitter, on every day with us during the World Cup. And good video you sent in, too. How was the experience of your first World Cup match with England there, and how'd you enjoy it yesterday?
Well, I've been to a World Cup game before with England, the American game. It's my first World Cup tournament. So this was my second game. It's the first time I've seen England score a goal at the World Cup. It was a strange feeling, really. I mean, it's a very, very strange World Cup here. The atmosphere is not... It's electric. From other nations, you know, if you meet these Argentinians, I think if you meet the Brazilians, if you meet the Mexicans, the Japanese, mm-hmm. I mean, they are experiencing the World Cup. I honestly think the Brits and the English really miss the beer. I really do. I feel that it's like taking a bit of an edge out of the atmosphere. It's sort of sedated. You know, it's not so crazy. But now we're coming into the real tournament now. The tournament really gets exciting. I mean, every game is like an actual final, and I feel that it's going to be a very different feeling. I think last night, the Senegal game, I think England really weathered the storm in the first 15-20 minutes. Senegal should have perhaps gone 1-0 up, two great saves from England goalkeeper Pickford. But I think there's sort of an air of inevitability around the stadium that England would actually win that game. And I don't think anyone was really too worried. I know it sounds crazy, but that's the sort of feeling that I had. And that was how I felt during the game. When we play France on Saturday, then that is going to be very different. I mean, that's when I feel that the game will be electric. And I'm very fortunate to have tickets for that game. So I'll be at the game on Saturday. I'm off to the Brazil game tonight. I'm going to see Brazil tonight. Brazil. So that'd be fantastic. But I think it's going to change. But real strange feeling around the town in those England games in particular.
We were discussing this during the break, and Mitch was surprised. The exacta forecast of France over Brazil is 12-1. What do you think happens now, if you could go, who you think is going to meet in the championship?
Well, I think that bottom half, England will play France. You're looking at probably Spain against Portugal, and the winner plays each other. I think that England will be the dog against Spain. I think there'll be a small favourite against Portugal. France will be the favourites against all three of those nations. I think what we've seen from the tournament so far, I think the best team in the tournament, the French.
Yeah.
I think they've got the best player in the tournament, Mbappe. I think they look hungry and they're proven. I mean, when you get to the knockout stages of the World Cup last eight, the fact that they're defending champions is a great thing for them. But it's also a hindrance because you've got to go back a very, very long time to see the last team that ever successfully defended a World Cup. I think we've got to go back to 1962, the last time that ever done that. So history is against them. I believe that whoever wins the England-France game will be in the final. That's how important I think this game is. Mm. I'm very nervous about the French, but I'm only nervous about one player. I'm nervous about Mbappe. I'm not really concerned about anybody else. I mean, I don't think there's many other players in that French side who would get in the England team. I don't think there's anybody. I don't think Giroud would get in it. I think perhaps Varane, the defender, maybe three or four. I think if you took the best 11 from both sides, I think England would probably have the better players. But they have the best player in the world at the moment in Mbappe, the guy who's going to take over. And I think England have got to contain him. If they can contain him, then I think England are the better team. They're definitely the better squad. England are definitely the better squad. Their bench is stronger. And I'm not just saying that because I'm an Englishman. I've always been negative about English, the approach they play. But I don't think they'll have anything to fear. And I think England going in as the dogs makes them play better. They're a better dog side than they are when they're heavy favourites. So I think whoever wins that game will go through. And then in the top half of the draw, I think we're destined for the game of the tournament in the semi-finals. I think that Argentina will meet Brazil. I believe that the Argentinian game against the Netherlands will be a tough game, but I expect Argentina to fail. And I think we could have a matchup between Argentina and possibly France. If you ask me now to wager on it, I'd say Argentina, France in the final. And I think it will be the two greatest players in the world, in my opinion, the greatest player in Messi. I still believe Messi is the greatest player in the world against the young pretender Mbappe. And I think it will be a huge spectacle. But obviously, I want England to do well. I'm always a I've always been a fade of Brazil in this tournament, and there's nothing that I've seen in this tournament that suggests that Brazil should be the odds that they are. I think if France played Brazil in the World Cup final, I would be a pick and match. Yeah. So I don't understand why Brazil is heavy favourites to win the tournament and France aren't. So I would go for Argentina against France, but obviously I love it to be England against Argentina, England against Brazil in the final.
Interesting. So you'd have Argentina over Brazil if they actually meet, getting ahead of ourselves here. So then what do you think of the match today? Brazil's defense has been so good. Do you like them today, Nigel, betting purposes here, to win to nil?
Yeah, I think you look at the teams that when they've lost, I mean, Brazil lost to Cameroon, Portugal have lost to South Korea, France have lost to Tunisia. But they've all lost when they've got nothing to play for, when they've won the group and they put out their squad players. And that's why I think England are a better squad, because England's second 11, if there was a World Cup of second 11s, England would be the favourites. That's how good England's squad are. But other player in their first 11 is stronger. But I think Brazil tonight will win 2-0. I don't think you're going to see a huge, nothing changes from the Brazil. I think they've got the best goalkeeper. I think they have the best defence. They're minus 350, minus 330, something like that, to win the game. But they're minus 110 to win 2-0 over here.
Okay.
I think that's a good price. I think that's a good odds. They played in a friendly in Seoul this year already, and Brazil won 5-1. That was on... in South Korea's home turf. Richarlison scored, Neymar scored. There is talk that Neymar will feature tonight, whether he comes on as a substitute. Whether he plays from the start might be a little bit too risky, but I would expect Brazil to win. And I think if you're looking for a little bit of juice in your price, I think they'll cover the handicap as well. I think they'll win by two or more goals. But I think what Brazil will do, would like to have the luxury of winning 2-0 and then rest everybody and just take the foot off the gas slightly, because they're building up to this semi-final showdown against the Argentinians, which will be a spectacular event.
Follow the money, Paulie and Mitch, Visa and the Sports Betting Network. Nigel Seeley live from Qatar at Seeley_Nigel on Twitter. How about the first match here coming up with Croatia and Japan?
I think this is a very difficult game to break down, actually. I think they're one of the takeout teams of the tournament. I think, you know, they've beaten Germany in the first game, and they beat Spain in game three. What they do is they give away huge amount of possession stats. I mean, I think the Spanish had something like 80% of possession against them, and they still won the game. Germany should have been 3 or 4 nil up, but what they do have is they have a heart and they run. They run. They've got engines. They're fit. They're very, very, very tactical. They know exactly the approach to play. They're hard to break down, and they will run it their socks off. And they're not going to give up. And they're going to keep going for 100 minutes with these extra times we're seeing here. Croatia are probably one of the oldest teams in the World Cup. They are they're aging. They're going to have a lot of possession. It's whether they can convert what they're going to have, the chance that they have. I have a feeling this could be a long one. We haven't had an extra time or a penalty showdown yet in the World Cup in the last 16 knockout stages. We've only had 4 games, admittedly. But I feel this could be the one that could be really nervy, really edgy. Two very different contrasting styles. I'd be looking at the unders. I'd be looking at a draw. And I'd be looking for this one to go a long way. I think Japan won't fear the Croats at all, because they've beaten Germany, they've beaten Spain, they've beaten the Spanish opposition. The only thing I would say about Croatia is that they played really well in one game, and that was against Canada. Uh-huh. And Canada got the early goal, and then Canada went for the second and went and pressed them because they needed to win, and it opened the game up and it allowed Croatia to play. In the other two games where teams have been much more defensively against Croatia, against Morocco and Belgium, they haven't been able to break them down. Both those games ended in 0-0 draws. I wouldn't be surprised to see this being a very low-scoring game. Both two sides count. You know, both of them, you know, didn't expect to be on the verge of a World Cup quarterfinal. None of them would have expected to play each other. And it's a huge opportunity for both nations to progress to the last 8 of a World Cup. And I think it could be a nervy game. So I'm going to go under 2.5 goals. I like the draw. And I think we may have our first extra time match of the World Cup in this game.
All right. Just 2 minutes left. How disappointed were you with USA against Netherlands?
I wasn't disappointed with them. I thought they created a lot of chances, and they just showed a little bit of rawness in front of goal. When they fly back to America, I think you look and see its progression. I mean, they pushed England, who could potentially be World Cup winners and should have beat them. They had the biggest thing for the Americans is when they conceded the third goal against Dutch. At 2-1, they were back in the game. To concede that third goal so quickly suddenly did the momentum straight back to them. If they had been 2-1, you'd have seen the very crazy last 10 minutes and had a chance. But these are young kids. They're very young. They're getting better and better and better. And, you know, in 4 years' time, I don't see any reason why they can't go a stage further to the quarterfinals. They just need to they have all the possession. They have all the effort and the athleticism. But one thing they don't have is in composure in front of goal. And once they get that composure in front of goal, you've only got to look at the top nations. They've got a clinical guy who can put the ball in the back of net. Mbappe, Harry Kane, Messi, Neymar. That's the difference between, there's not much between these anymore. And if they can find that person, just have that little bit of composure, and they're going to go on the up. I wouldn't be surprised to see them make the quarterfinals in the next World Cup. But if I'm a takeout out of 10, 7 out of 10 from the Americans at this World Cup.
Right. You can follow him on Twitter. He is at Sealy_Nigel. Enjoy the match today, the one that you're going to live. And it's coming home, mate.
I hope so.
All right, bud. Be good. There you go. He was tweeting that out after the match.
Coming
super
home.
Excited. Easy with the expectations, Nigel. Up next, Andy Staples covers college football. He's going to be in studio. We'll get into the playoffs and bowl games with him coming up next.
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Welcome back. This is Follow the Money here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Mitch Moss along with Paulie Howard. This is really cool here early on a Monday. Andy Staples joins us in studio. He covers college football for The Athletic. His podcast is called The Andy Staples Show. He was in town for the Pac-12 title game on Friday night and hanging out for a couple more days. Thanks for doing this today, man. How are you?
Oh, my pleasure. No, my body's still on Eastern time, so this is a perfectly normal morning for me.
So you've been to the gym already today, had a couple of coffees?
I hadn't been to the gym yet because... The gyms and the hotels here, not 24 hours, because they feel like you shouldn't be working out when you can be gambling.
Right? Want that money first, and then you can go.
That's exactly right.
Overall, your impressions of the Pac-12 title game on Friday night, and when did you tell, or when did you think to yourself, you know what, I think USC might be in some trouble here?
It wasn't when I thought they'd be in trouble. There was a point where they got a turnover from Utah. I think they were up 14-3. They turned Utah over in Utah territory. And I was like, if Utah doesn't get a stop here, this is going to get real dark.
Yep.
And Utah got the stop.
Yep.
And then scored. And it's like, ooh, now I don't. But once you could tell that Caleb was hurt, and it was it's late in the second quarter, he starts taking sacks, which he doesn't take. He doesn't give himself up. You know, normally he does the Houdini stuff and gets out of there. And so when he started taking sacks, it's like, okay, something's off. Something's wrong. And I see, being at the game, I didn't hear the broadcast. I didn't realize the broadcast missed the leg injury the entire time.
Oh.
And so I had fans tweeting at me like, he's just being dramatic, blah, blah. And I'm like, you can't see this? Huh. You can't see that he's barely walking and still playing? But once that happened, there was no chance for USC because that defense was not going to be able to get enough stops to keep Utah from outscoring them.
Yep. Does he still win the Heisman?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I don't see who else it would be.
Okay, all right. Does he play against Tulane?
That is a better question. I mean, if I'm Lincoln Riley, I don't know if I want to play him against Tulane. It's a hamstring. You know, those things are soft tissue. You don't really know it's better until it's actually better, and you don't really want to do any permanent damage or any further damage to it that could put next season in jeopardy because they could have a special season next year. Now, what USC has to do, and it's not worrying about Caleb Williams, is they have to figure out what they're going to do on defense and whether that's make a change at defensive coordinator. And I know a lot of the fans want to see Alex Grinch gone. But my thing, and I wrote this the other night, it's not just deciding if you want to change defensive coordinators. You have to change your entire philosophy. Lincoln Riley has a history. This USC team looked exactly like all his Oklahoma team.
Yep.
Elite offense, terrible defense. And I'm not saying that lightly, and I'm not trying to be flippant. Literally, statistically, terrible. And all they need to be is average. If they are average to slightly above average, mm-hmm. you can be a national title contender with that offense. So he has to decide philosophically, how do I want to practice? How much do I want to hit? How much do we want to tackle? And decide, do we want to be like Alabama and Georgia and schools like that that actually compete for national titles? Yep. Because that's the only way.
Great answer so far. And I'm with you, because if they go up three scores, then school could be out. But do you think you make a change, or does he keep them and point to maybe the previous administration to do a good job?
He can't do that because the numbers were too similar to Oklahoma.
The tackling's atrocious.
It's awful. And I mean, I felt like I was watching. Like, I remember going to the Bedlam game in 2018, when Kyler Murray, uh-huh. and then he's playing against Taylor Cornelius from Oklahoma State. I mean, who remembers Corn Dog other than Oklahoma State alum Garth Brooks? Like, but Oklahoma State had a 2-point conversion to win the game at the end. Those two teams should have been nowhere near one another, but that defense was so bad.
Yep. To his credit, they're not really even that good right now, USC. Offensively, they're amazing.
Right.
And it's his first
but
year.
But it's all guys he got in the portal. It's not really anybody he inherited. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to recruit well.
That's
And they should be able to get some good defenders out of the portal, but they're going to have, if they really want to get the best of the best, they're going to have that different philosophy, because those guys are going to ask, what are you going to be like?
Yeah.
Am I going to play on a defense that was like this again? Because I don't want to do that. That's going to make me look bad.
Right. Did the committee get it right? The four teams in the playoff?
Yeah, because I think at the end of the day, you can't put Alabama in with that resume. And Ohio State at 4, who else were you going to put in? There really wasn't much of a choice there. And TCU, you know, you can say, well, Alabama would be better against Michigan or Georgia than TCU would. But you do have, like, they do play the games for a reason. Mm-hmm. And TCU put together a really stacked resume. The Big 12 was very deep this year. So to go undefeated in the regular season in the Big 12 is incredibly hard. And I think you do reward that. And look, you got one more year of this after this one, and then it's a 12-team playoff. And then, of course, we'll complain about whoever doesn't get the last at-large spot. But it won't be the same thing.
No, it's not going to be the same thing.
Do you believe them when they say it never came up, Ohio State-Michigan rematch? Is that my fault?
I do, actually, because you don't think about the matchup, because you go one team at a time. And you also, having done the mock selection, conference doesn't come up either. You try to go as blind as you can and not think about it in terms of conferences. You just think about it in terms of who they played. And so I think it worked out better for television that way. Because think about this. Think about a potential Ohio, and I realize this is a steep hill to climb for Ohio State.
Sure.
But an Ohio State Michigan game for the national title, people's heads would explode.
Yes.
I mean, absolutely. I mean,
the psychological damage that was done for Michigan winning 2 in a row. Imagine
they want day
if
fired.
They win the national. They will 100%.
Yes, they will.
Well, no, half the Ohio State fan base already wants Ryan Day fired. Like, the other half would tip. They'd be like, yeah, okay, let's do this.
Excellent. It was a weird season. Certainly what happened with the South Carolina game, and then you lose Hooker. But who do you think is playing the what could have been scenario?
It's definitely Tennessee. Well, Tennessee and Clemson.
Clemson, too. Clemson. The quarterback change.
Well, Shane Beamer, South Carolina coach, he is the playoff angel of death.
Yes,
I mean,
yes.
Think about this. If Tennessee wins that game, they are in. Yep. Whether Hendon Hooker's healthy or not, even with Joe Milton at 11-1, they're in the playoff in that scenario. And then if Clemson had gone to Cade Klubnik earlier in the season.
Yes.
They only lost South Carolina by one. So they only need one more decent possession.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in the playoff.
Yes, they are. Yeah. They probably get smoked by Georgia, but that's a totally different offense.
Exactly.
It is.
Oh. Right. And Clemson does have elite defensive linemen, which changes the math a little bit. And I think if you're Dabo Sweeney or if you're Josh Heupel, you're just like, how did I let the Gamecocks do this to me?
Yeah. What'd you think of Saban making the rounds and bringing up point spread?
I just think it's funny because in the week of the Texas A&M game, when they were 24.5 point favorites, they have a guest media host on his radio show every Thursday night. And so I was the guest media host that Thursday night. So I'm sitting next to him at this sports bar in Tuscaloosa, and he is on this rant about we don't look at point spreads, and he's pissed off because he doesn't want people telling his players you're 24 points better than this team when he's starting a backup quarterback and he knows they have really good players. And but it's just so he goes off on this rant, and then to hear him talking about, well, you know, if we're talking about what Vegas would say, they'd have us favored in all these games. I'm just like, oh, come on. But that said, it is his job to put his team in a position to try to win the national. And that was at that point, because they had not gotten to the SEC championship game and were not playing, that was all he could do. So I'm sure he was highly embarrassed that he had to do that and probably took a very hot shower afterward. Uh-huh. But I just thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We had people chiming in today saying that they're lifelong Alabama fans for like 40 plus years. They couldn't believe he did it.
I can. He did it in 2017.
Yeah, he did.
He was right, too. They won the national title.
Yeah. Now, do you think people out here want like an odds maker on the committee? That'll never, ever happen. But should they incorporate like a set of pop?
They already do. Look at how they rank. You know they're using FPI or SP Plus. They're using predictive power rankings.
They are.
Look at how they rank Texas. Look at how they rank Notre Dame.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Look at where they rank Alabama.
Yeah.
Look at how they treat Ohio State. It's not, everybody thinks it's because of brands. It's not. It's because of those power rankings that they're doing. They're just looking at it going, well, why is this team so high and this team so low? And someone comes in and explains how the process works, and they go, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But so there may not be an odds maker on the committee, but there is an algorithm doing the work of an odds maker.
They show a picture of them all watching the game, and no one has notes or anything in front of them.
They got iPads. It's all fancy.
Okay. It's all updated. You know, another team that really screwed the pooch? Looking back, it's now easy to say they weren't. Oregon.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. Oh, and you know, the loss to Oregon State was just a killer. Yeah. The Georgia game might have even been able to be excused at that point.
Right.
But, yeah, the Oregon State loss just, I don't know. I think probably they would have had to beat Washington and Oregon State.
I think so.
I mean, it's crazy because they were in the driver's seat for the Pac-12. And I think they could have beaten USC in that Pac-12 title game.
I think so,
game.
Too.
I think they'd have been fine there.
Okay, we'll continue with one more segment. Andy Staples has a great job covering college football for The Athletic. His podcast is called The Andy Staples Show. He was out here in Las Vegas for the Pac-12 title game on Friday night. We have to get his early read on the two playoff games. We'll throw the point spreads at you.
Oh, yeah.
Georgia, obviously, touchdown favorite. Michigan bigger than that against TCU. And also some of these other numbers that moved in bowl games. Does he agree with the movement there? And what does he make of some of the matchups across the board? That's coming up here on Follow the Money. It's VSIN, the Sports Betting Network. There's a new way to bet on things outside of sports with Kalshi. Maybe you have a thought on TikTok. Will Congress ban it or won't they? Will Taylor Swift's album be album of the year? What about Biden's approval rating or inflation? And a whole lot more. You can trade futures on all of that and make money if you're correct. $20 bonus if you go to Kalshi.com/followthemoney, spelled K-A-L-S-H-I, and deposit $50. There is no guarantee of performance, and an investor could lose their entire investment, including fees. iHeartMedia does not recommend any investments. See further disclosures at Kalshi.com.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.